Jesus says, okay, you can have the pigs. And the next thing that happened tells us there, Jesus in verse 13 gave permission. Then the unclean spirits came out. There were 2,000 pigs. So if there were 6,000 demons, 2,000 pigs, 3 demons per pig. And so, when those things happened in verse 13, 2,000 pigs ran all the way, not home. They went, Wah-man! How do pigs call, right? Anybody know what a pig sound? Oh yeah, that's right, thank you. Amplify. And I go, that is one sound I couldn't make, right? Right, whatever sounds they make, the pig go, and go, and 2,000 pigs ran down the slope, and go, zoom, 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 zoom. Must have taken some time, right? How long does it take? How many seconds or how many minutes does it take for 2,000 pigs to go down the cliff? Please don't try this at home. Okay. 2,000 pigs to go down the slope. Must have taken some time. Must have been quite a scenery, right? I'm not talking about one pig. I'm talking about 2,000 pigs. Must have been a scene. I mean, all the disciples, I could imagine Thomas and all the others, they were looking at the scene with their mouth open wide. All the pigs jumping one by one. Everybody is wondering what happened. There are several possible theories. Theory number one, the 6,000 demons jump out. Shoom! And 3 to a pig. Since the 6,000 demons with 2,000 pigs, 3 demons to 1 pig. So the demons jump into the pig, shoom. So the pigs got demon possessed, and the pigs don't like being demon possessed, ran and committed suicide, shoom. They rather die than be demon possessed, even though they're such unclean animals. Second possibility, the pigs who were minding their own business, by the way, they were not trying to do anything funny. They were just trying to be pigs waiting to be bacon. And so, they saw these demons coming. Second possibility. The pigs were busy eating away. They look up and see the 6,000 demons coming. And they say, oh no, folks, I'd rather die. And so, they ran away from the demons and didn't know where to run and jump over the cliff. And the demons never got to the pigs. Whatever your theory is, doesn't matter in that. Since the Bible never recorded, it just recorded the pigs commit suicide. That's a fact we know. But what about that man who had the 6,000 demons? The Bible tells us in verse 15, when the owners of the pig herdsmen, when they saw the pigs went wild. And remember, these are farmers here. And when you're a farmer, you get to know your animals. Sometimes you even know the animals by name, right? Some of you watch a movie, Babe. What a clever little pig. So, 2,000 babes here. And so, they probably know them all by name. And so, when they were on the way to commit suicide, they say, hey, Babe, come back here. Hey, John, come back here. Hey, what are the pig names? Oh, sorry, John. It just came out. And let's say Akel, Ahmad, Ramasamy. Right. I'm going to get names that no one has here. Right. And so, hey, whatever names. And Wiggly, Piggly, Siggly, Jiggly. Right. They come back here. And all the Piggly, Jiggly, Wiggly all kept running. The herdsman panicked. And guess what? The herdsman also ran the other direction. They ran back to their town, the owners or whoever, and say, hey, I don't know what has happened. We just lost 2,000 pigs. And one of the company accountants came and calculated, that's a lot of money. Who's going to pay for this? Oh, there's this guy named Jesus. And so a whole group of them came from out of town. Jung, jung, the music, please. And they came out of town like a Western cowboy movie to confront Jesus minus the guns. Right, so then it came. How did we get into that war movie? So they came marching to confront Jesus, and they got a shock in verse 15 when they saw the demon-possessed man sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. The second key is to believe. The first is to believe in the bigness of God. He is in control. Second is to believe in the greatness of God's power. Look at this man. How long did it take to heal him? One moment of Jesus. Just coming face to face with Jesus. And he was so healed that the people around were so scared of Jesus. Because if his presence could kill 2,000 pigs, and you do not know how many more thousand pigs they have at home, said, don't come near Jesus. And they actually asked Jesus to leave the area. And Jesus had to leave. And then the demon-possessed man in verse 18 says, or formerly demon-possessed man says, he begged Jesus, I want to be your disciple. I want to follow you. And Jesus says in verse 19, go home to your friends. Tell them what great things the Lord has done for you. How he has a compassion on you. And in verse 20, the man started preaching away. He was a healed, whole, mighty preacher of God in a moment of time. Never doubt the greatness of God's power. There are no wounds too deep that God can't heal. There are no hurts buried by decades or centuries or hurt that God cannot touch in a moment of time. Greatness of God's power. When you believe how great God's power can be. And what were the keys of healing here? The sub-points. In the greatness of God's power, worship Jesus. So the most important thing is not to try a new formula. Right? Oh, you got this new formula for healing you. Right? Oh, you must confess this one. You must go through your basic life. From the time you were 6 months old to the time you were, you know, how old are you? 49? Or to the time you're 49. Try to remember all your sins. Try to remember, how can you remember all those things? Or somebody come up with a new formula. Oh, you got all these demons that you must confess. These things that you must renounce. All these formulas. Put away all the formulas. Formulas can be applied only in certain situations as people can respond to them. But primarily, they must come to worship Jesus. When in the worship of Jesus, Jesus reveals himself, healings takes place. Isn't it said of the disciples when they noticed that something was different about them in the book of Acts? You know what some people say? They have been with Jesus. Say, who are these uneducated fishermen, tax collectors, preaching away with such knowledge and power? They have been with Jesus. They have been with Jesus. We deal with one hard, very hard case back home where this girl was possessed by demons from a child. And everybody knows she's a mad girl. Because of the social situation in Asia is not so good that all these people get cared for in mental institutions. They were just left in a home. And so, different people came to her over a period of 15, 20 years. Different Christians ministered to her. And with very mild success. And one day, this associate of mine, and also said pastor, she was a lady, her name was Hannah. She prayed, Lord, what can we do? And the Lord says, worship Jesus. And so she came to this girl's house, and every day she's there, she doesn't say anything, she just play some worship music, and worship, and worship. And one day during the worship, the girl came to her right mind and says, why am I like this? She's able to pray with her. And that was a first sign of recovery. Worship. not formulas. Worship Jesus. An encounter with Jesus was all it needs. Never doubt the greatness of God's power. Finally, number 3, Romans chapter 8. Third key to healing is to understand the unconditional love of the Lord. In Romans chapter 8, it tells us here in verse 28, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." And then verse 37 to 39, "Yea, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loves us." Now notice, every one of us can be more than a conqueror. You can conquer plus being more than a conqueror over your hurts, over your fears, over your past, over your failures, over everything, not alone, through Him who loves us. Can you see the fact? "And the love was so great," it says, "I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." In verse 37, the key is to accept the unconditional love of the Lord. You cannot be a conqueror or more than a conqueror unless you have the revelation that God loves you. God loves you. I love the little story that Charles and Elaine tell, and this is true, when they were out in one of their trips to Odessa, that's right, in the mission, in the Ebenezer or Eliah mission that they helped. And when they were getting into this boat or this ship, there was this little, one of the Australian ladies there who had an accident or slip or fell and something happened to the back. And of course, Charles, being a chiropractor, they call him. And this was a scene as described by Charles and Elaine. Everybody in the boat was trying to tell the person how to get healed. Do this, do that, claim this, claim that. Promises of God, this, that, this, that, this, that, this, that, this, that, this, that. How do they get healed? But because at that time, Elaine has been going through a journey of self-discovery about the Father's love, as she began to realize that the most important thing in her life and in every life is to know that God loves her. So out of her revelation that she has been receiving over the past months, in the midst of all those formulas being thrown at this person, which caused a lot of confusion, but when she entered the room, says, "Look, whatever the sister's name was, put away all those things. Just rest in the fact that God loves you. Now, you're not trying to get healing, you're not trying this, just rest in the fact that He loves you. And just be in that love. Enjoy and receive His love. And put aside everything else." And says, when that happened, peace came. And then slowly, the person could recover, and they kept the sister throughout the trip, and she got better. See, sometimes we do all kinds of things, try all kinds of things, but we forget that the most important thing is just to receive His love. We forget to rest in His love. He loves us. He loves us. And we are more than conquerors through Him who loves us. So when we receive the unconditional, and what is unconditional love? Unconditional love, firstly, it's love that is given not dependent on who you are. Not dependent on who you are. It's just unconditional. And you could be good, you could be bad, you could be recognized, unrecognized. It doesn't determine.